Milwaukee's 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Well, Thanksgiving dinner is getting closer by the second.
Oh, yeah.
So let's not save it till the end. Let's talk about what's on the table at the Dotson House for Thanksgiving right off the bat this year. Good morning, Santana.
Good morning, fellas. How's it going?
Well, I've got a little holiday stress. You know, there's a big meal that you got to get whipped up, you know, Thursday.
Yeah.
How much of the whipping up are you doing?
Me?
Yeah.
I got the main course. The turkey is on me, my friend.
All right. Well, you said you were going to smoke it.
I am, but you got to do it right. I mean, there's no...
Did you test this before?
On a turkey?
On anything.
Yeah. Yes, I've made a couple of things in the smoker.
Yeah.
How are you preparing
How are you going to smoke the turkey? Like, are you smoking it with, like, apple cider or...
There are...
Like
no, it's going in... I bought a smoker, a designated smoker. It's like a smoking oven that's outside that I will... place the turkey in. I will set the temperature. It will dole out these little puck-like wooden discs that cook for like 20 minutes at a time, and then the next one gets shoved in place. A smoker. It's like an outdoor oven.
I got you. How long does it take to smoke a turkey?
Well, about 30 minutes a pound is what I'm told.
Okay.
And you want to reach a temperature of about 150. You know, then the bird is done, so I'll have the probe stuck in so I can monitor the internal temperature as well. But it's got to go...
Nothing like sticking that probe in, kid.
You have to. You want to get sick.
Right.
You got to do what you got to do.
And it's all Bluetooth down to my phone. All I have to do is check my phone and say, okay, what's the temperature? What are we doing internally? What's our temperature set for? All of that, you know?
That's like a 2K smoker. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I'm not fooling around. I don't want to be walking outside every 15 minutes with my
smoker hanging out.
Yes. With your smoker. Right. Put your smoker away.
What about USD?
Yeah.
What's Thanksgiving?
How you making the bird?
Yeah. I'm going to fry the turkey. So today I'll, finish up the marinade, which, you know, kind of consists of a bunch of dry seasonings and real butter. So I'll thaw that turkey out, which they better be thawed now. I thawed them out in the refrigerator over the weekend. You know, we don't want our Italian friend, Mr. Sam, to come to visit.
Right.
Mr. Salmonella. So I thawed them out in the refrigerator. I'll inject the marinade into them today. And then Wednesday morning, I'm going to drop them in a deep fryer. And I got to do four total.
You get four birds. How big are these birds each? What does each bird weigh?
Each of them is 12 or 15 pounds.
12 or 15 pounds.
Like you said, I think you got 5 minutes, then 3 minutes per pound when you're frying them.
Right. It's been a while since I've deep fried one.
Yeah.
So I don't remember the temperature that you want to drop
how
the
many,
bird in.
How many people are going to be at your house?
Yeah, well, we'll have about 20 relatives that are coming over. I got some folks coming from out of town. But we're doing four turkeys. I got one for a neighbor, one for another family member.
And one
for the neighbor. That's very nice. You're going to fry it up and bring it over there?
It's a season of giving, so instead of going and get I own them. If they're my neighbor, I own them.
Really? That's very nice of you. What do they, mow your grass or?
No, they probably put up with my guests one time too many. You know, when I'm entertaining, you got people that are parking on the lawn, parking their driveway, all kind of stuff.
Okay, so.
Do you have Gilbert over? Does he make a mess? Is that a problem?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
So you're cooking 45 pounds of bird for your house and 15 for his.
You got it.
Okay. All right. Does he have are they all getting seasoned the same way? The same injection,
I'll
same rub?
I'll do them all the same way.
Okay. All right. So you won't have to go, well, the next one's going to be more of an apple. This one's more of a mesquite. Anything like that.
Right.
Okay.
We're just going to drop them in that grease, and when it floats, it's ready.
All right.
Like Grandma taught you.
All right, so the Packers lose Thursday night. That feels like it was a month ago now. They have Minnesota coming up next Sunday night in Minnesota. Your thoughts on that? Because the game in Seattle, what are you going to say?
Yeah, well, their backs are against the wall. You know, we all know that. So, and it all starts with one. So if you're going to be able to get a victory, it's no place. It's an opponent we know in Minnesota. It's an arch rival. It's going to be a hostile environment. But at the same time, it's a winnable game. But they just got to find a way. The Seattle game the bad part about Seattle is we really had the opportunity and it was a close contest. And you come out asking, there's a bunch of whys when you come out of that game. You know, like for instance, if you had a Aaron Jones that had over 100 yards rushing, why did he only get 4 carries in the second half? So you come out with a bunch of whys and you were still in the game, but you got to find a way to get the victory at the end of it.
So is it true? Did you ever buy into there's nothing more dangerous than a team with their back to the wall or nothing to lose or pick whatever phrase? You know, it's always there's nothing more dangerous than. How about, I don't know.
There's nothing more dangerous than the team the Packers are playing because they're always, because that's the guys who are going to beat you.
Yeah, you just want some consistency. I think on the offensive side of the ball, honestly, you've had a lot of injuries. You went into the season with a lot of potential, but you still have Cobb out. You've got Geronimo Allison, who was a very talented wide receiver, coming on as a second or third best guy. He's been out for several weeks. It looks like we never really got the tight end involved this year for whatever reason. Well, and Jimmy, now he's out.
Jimmy Graham broke a thumb, right?
He broke a thumb, so now it sounds like he'll be out for the rest of the way. So you've had a lot of significant injuries in key places. So it's really, I think, affected the consistency of the offense. And defensively, honestly, injuries there too. We had Wilkerson that was a big free agent signee, and I knew they were looking for big things from him this year. He went out the second game.
Yeah.
So we just end up not having a lot of heavy hitters. So when you're in a game like the Seattle game or the one last Thursday, who's going to make the plays for you? Now, that being said, it does leave opportunities for people because we always say you got to always step up and be ready for your opportunity. So 51, whose name is escaping me right now, he was a backup.
Back row.
There you go. He filled the void for Perry last week, and he had 3 sacks. So there is some potential out there. We just, you know, right now you're fishing, and we're in the dead heat of the season with our backs against the wall. So we just don't know who to expect those plays to come from.
It's Mike Daniels who's injured this week. They're saying he could be out several weeks with a foot injury. That is a huge, huge part of that defense.
It makes it rough. But, you know, that's coaching. Everybody's hurt. You know, I'm watching the game yesterday, and I watched the Atlanta game yesterday, and they have the same talk. They lost a lot of players, and Dallas was down to only 5. I'm sorry, the Houston Texans yesterday were down to only 5 live offensive linemen. And if you don't know, you got to play 5. So they're hoping nobody gets injured during the game. So those things happen, and that's when a coach has to step in and you really got to do some coaching. You got to coach the guys that are available to you.
Because the Packers are having such a miserable season, I've kind of picked a backup team that, you know, when we're finally eliminated from any playoff chatter, I'm just going to load in on the Houston Texans.
Oh, wait. Don't put too much pressure on them now.
They've won 7. They've won 7 in a row. They've got Captain America J.J. Watt on the team. Mm-hmm. They seem to have figured it out somewhat, right? Don't you think 7 in a row, they're doing something right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they started out 0-3. I like the mental toughness of the team because they started out 0-3, and that 0-3 was a lot of it was turnover-laced, and a lot of inefficiencies offensively and defensively, but they kept, they kept true to the script. So you got to respect the fact that they've run off 7 in a row. A lot of them have been close contests. So we can appreciate that. You can appreciate that as a fan, because once you get to the playoffs, those games are going to be close. So they're finding a way and believing in their teammates, and they're really playing great team efficient ball. So that is a good team to watch right now.
The Colts are kind of on a streak. The Steelers are on a streak, too. About the only team they've been on a streak is the Packers.
Well, the Steelers looked bad for three quarters yesterday, though.
The only team that's getting streaked on is
Yeah,
I mean, it's some good stuff out there. I watched New Orleans yesterday, and I'm just watching their offense, and oh, my God, Drew Brees is playing some of his best ball. They've scored 40 points the last three outings.
How did they lose to the Buccaneers?
Opening weekend, the Buccaneers knock them off.
Early in the year, exactly.
You're just scratching your head. And then in Tampa yesterday, they brought in what's his name? Who's the quarterback? The disaster.
Patrick, right?
Who
is it? Fitzpatrick is the quarterback.
Well, he started, but then they went to
who?
The crab leg.
Oh, did they go Winston. To Jameis?
Yeah, Jameis Winston. Yeah, he came in the second half. He made it kind of close.
Yeah. That's the whole situation. When you're bringing in two and three different quarterbacks, that means you have no real quarterback. So that's the problem in Tampa.
But
this is a quarterback-driven league. I'm finally going to admit it. This is a quarterback-driven league. You know, when it comes to the rules and everything else, if you got a above-average quarterback, you should win 50-60% of your games easily.
But it's all a moot point right now, because New Orleans is just going to kill everybody. They put a beat down on the defending Super Bowl champions on
Sunday. The Browns play him?
On Sunday.
If the Browns play him, the Browns will beat the Saints. That's how that works.
The Eagles lost. It's the worst loss by a defending Super Bowl champion ever.
It looks bad. I mean, I think the final score was 48-7. It was 48-7, but I watched that game yesterday, and that 48 was at the end of the third quarter when New Orleans.
So I say they must have let up.
They must have let up, because Philadelphia had no answer for them defensively.
What is the rule in the NFL? And I know it's been a few years since you've actually been on the field, but what's the rule on something like that? If you're beating another professional team that badly, why would you ever get out of the accelerator? Why would you let up on them?
Yeah, you know, I don't want to say you let up, but it's definitely a difference in play calling, because you got so many highs and lows in the season. You don't want to give the players the vision or the vantage point of, okay, we're letting up off of the gas, but you're just going to do a little bit more running than throwing, things like that, short throws, not your long deep throws for the end zone. So you're just changing it up a little bit. But it's so hard, trust me, it's so hard to get a win in the NFL that you don't want to give the vantage point of we're letting up on anybody. But and then to that point, too, of the coach, it's not like Joe College or Harry High School. It's you've got about 45 guys, 48 guys on the roster, and like we talked about, now there a bunch of them are injured. So it's not like you can say, hey, second team, get ready to go in. Third team, get ready to go in. You know, you just don't have that much depth in the NFL. So if you're going to have your Aaron Rodgers out of the world out, or your Mark Ingrams as a running back, you don't want them to get injured. So you want them to be full speed with everything you're calling as a coach.
Doesn't it also kind of depend on where your team is coming from? Like, you've been a doormat for years and, you know, you start stomping people. Wouldn't you just keep stomping them as opposed to a team like the Patriots or someone who's been good for a long time? If they're going to hang a 50 burger on you, they might say, well, there's no need for that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it has to do with confidence going into the next week. So, like we talked about, if you're in the Saints game yesterday and you scored 48 points, you want to put some good stuff out on film. So I'm watching them, and I'm like, okay, they're still running different formations, you know, different plays. So, you know, as a defensive coordinator, whoever New Orleans has to play the following week, it's like, okay, we only have 2 real days of practice. How am I going to get my team prepped for all these different formations and plays that the Saints were running.
So at some point you can use the win you have to set up the next guys to be overloaded with things to prepare for?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Yeah. All the time. So, yeah, so because whatever happened yesterday, you've got 3 weeks of film preparation, meaning that if you're playing the Saints this week, or we're playing Minnesota this week, you'll go back 3 games for personnel and the plays that Minnesota is running as a defensive or offensive unit,
yeah,
just to get prepared for them.
Do you think Condoleezza Rice would go back 4 weeks if she becomes head coach of the Browns? Have you heard that story?
Yeah, I did hear that this morning. They want her to coach.
So she's a big fan. She knows the Browns owner. And they want to interview her for the coaching job.
I don't know. I'm thinking more PR than actually rubber meets the road.
Do you think?
You're right. She might be the smartest. You know, she might be the smartest person in the room most times or off times. But I don't know. I don't even know if she wants that job to come out of the stands and be in the Browns locker room. I don't know.
Strike a blow for the sisters, I say.
But how is
but, you know, that would be really cruel to do to black women.
If they're gonna offer it to you, you might as well take it.
Why not offer a black woman a job with a better chance of success than the Cleveland Browns?
Oh, you know what? If they hire Condoleezza Rice in Cleveland as their head coach, if I'm Cincinnati, I'm calling Oprah. I would call Oprah in a heartbeat and say, Oprah, you want to come down and coach the Bengals? Wouldn't you? I would one-up them. I'd get a better woman.
You got to one-up them. You're right.
Oprah runs the world.
Yeah.
Let's face it. Oh, and I watched, before we let you go, have you seen Mike Holmgren's Football Life on the NFL Network?
No, I have not. How'd it go? Was it good?
He did pretty well. I watched the whole thing. He did pretty well. San Francisco, Green Bay, Seattle, it worked out well for him. It was good.
Cleveland. Don't forget Cleveland. He stopped in Cleveland.
He wasn't on the sidelines in Cleveland. They didn't even mention Cleveland in there. It ends at Seattle.
GM.
He had
It stops at Seattle.
I don't know what here. Maybe you can explain this to me before we go. He had a line about being in the Super Bowl with Seattle, and there was a call that he said to one of the referees, I hope this game's not too big for you guys. And he said, if I could take any one line back in my life, I would take that back because – after that, nothing went right. Now, I don't know if he meant that the refs were making calls that didn't go in his favor or if he had poisoned the universe against him at that point. I'm not sure what that means.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It sounds like it's a slight to the refs or the officiating whatever happened in that game.
But it's interesting. Watching his old quarterbacks talk about him, Steve Young, Joe Montana, Brett Favre. He had some good ones, even Matt Hasselbeck.
Yeah, he had some good ones. And, you know, I mean, a lot of that is when you say those are all Hall of Fame quarterbacks, and it's being able to handle personalities. And that was going to be my compliment to Mike Holmgren. You know, when you're the captain of the vessel, you've got to be able to manage and massage personalities. And, you know, when you talk about those quarterbacks, that's a testament to that statement is that his ability to be able to, you know, as a head coach, there's a small fraction of patting somebody on the back or kicking them in the butt.
All right, so 30 Mike seconds. Holmgren,
that whole episode is on Seahawks.com.
As I wrap, Holmgren was great at that, knowing what the team needed. Did they need a blow up and extra practices, extra reps, or did they need a little bit more rest to get ready for the next Sunday? And he was great at making sure the team was ready.
In 30 seconds, give us your best Mike Holmgren story.
Okay, it was a preseason game. We were playing Pittsburgh, and we were terrible the first half, right? We were terrible. So he calls everybody up before the whistle blows for the halftime, and he's berating everybody on the sideline. He's like, get your ASS's up there in the locker room, and I bet not beat any one of you up there. So when I tell you Brett Favre, Reggie White, Santana Dodson, Gilbert Brown, everybody was in a full sprint to the tunnel in the preseason game.
Mike was really good at ripping his team, but doing it at a very cerebral way. He didn't just yell and swear. He made points during the rippings.
Yeah, he was great at it. He was one of the best coaches I had, honestly.
All right, no doubt. Santana, we are so late. I can't even express how late we are right now. So you got to go.
It's the holiday season. You got to take your time.
You got to go, baby.
You got to brine.
All right, baby. All right, hey, y'all have a great Thanksgiving, man. Enjoy the turkey.
Happy turkey, man.